bed, right? Or you don't probably call it Sunday school here. What do you call it? Team time for the children or something like that. See, I'm showing my age, right? I think about it as Sunday school. So, anyways, I have a few slides for us. It will be kind of a slide presentation. I'll be using those as my backdrop. And Grace and I have worked out a signal, right, Grace? So we've got that, okay? And so we've got yes, go ahead, go back. That's all we need, right? Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, I'm assuming the people in the back row, if you can't hear me, you'll put your hand up or something so I can get a message and Grace and I can work on the mic together. But you're hearing me okay, am I right? Okay, that's good. So it says, Holy Weaver. And this morning, I want to talk to you about my stole. It's a stole that, I don't know if Maggie wears a stole and a gown. She does? Okay, there was a time I always wore a gown and a stole. And this one was extremely important to me, and I want to tell you a little bit about that today. So that's a little more of a close-up. It has some unique symbols, and I'll tell you why they're unique. But it was created, we'll get this down. There's another symbol, okay. Did it switch? Oh, okay. It wasn't created on a huge loom. Like this one is in Pendleton, Oregon. I just came back from Pendleton, from Oregon a couple days ago. This one is in Pendleton, Oregon. It's a huge, huge loom, isn't it? This one actually was created on a small loom. It's called a floor loom. And it was done by a woman. She was all of 26 or 27. She had two children. She was a single mom. And she did this stole and another one as she maintained her kids and worked. And she did it in the evening. And the reason why the stole is important to me is because it took her 3 years. 3 years in and among her responsibilities of life to do this and one more stole that I gave to now what do we have here? Oh, it was done in my first church. It was years ago, 35 years ago, in Coal Lake, Alberta. Now, anybody heard of Coal Lake, Alberta here? Okay, a few people. Well, it's a military town. I guess that's one of the things. But if you looked at the website on Coal Lake, you'd see this. This was a month ago in Coal Lake. Shows you what you can do on the internet. And it's a 30 mile an hour, you can see where I've been. It's a 30 mile lake across. And this woman, as she created this stole, this is actually her, what she'd see. I went online and I found the exact area that she would have looked over on this 30 mile, this huge lake, northern lake. She would have looked over this as she was creating this stole. And over top of her, would be going these F-18s, screeching over. Seriously, I spent 3.5 years there, 4 years. I know they screech over top. And over top of her at night, what would she see in northern Alberta in the wintertime? Anybody know? Yeah, of course. Well, it says right there, right? Okay. But you're right. She'd see the northern lights. The northern lights are like this. I'm sure people have seen them. Who here has seen the northern lights? Okay, so I have an audience that I don't have to convince that they're very pretty. They're very pretty. And if you had to see, Grace and I's got, good Grace, we've got this down to an art. If I had to see the northern lights, this is probably a rendition of the colors, but still they're amazing colors and they just dance across the sky at night. Anyway, I'm trying to talk about my stole, so I'm getting a little bit out of the pattern here, but this was all done. You see, the stole was all done on it over the northern lights. And no one recognizes me. Now, what does that say? No one. I did it at my home congregation. They didn't know who I was. This is me. This is me 35 years ago. But yeah, Sharon, my wife, and myself, this is Sharon 35 years ago. 40 years actually this year we'll be married. But anyways, Sharon and I, we did the design and then the artist took it to make this beautiful art form. And the other stole went to my student at the time, and I think it may still be worn in Vegreville, Alberta, is where the student is now, as of course an ordained minister and has been for a long time. But Saskatoons, anybody know what a Saskatoon is? I'm asking an audience that, hey, there's a few educated people here that know the prairies, I'm glad. Yes, the prairies have these berries called Saskatoons. I don't believe there's any here in the West Coast. Am I wrong? Or anybody ever seen a Saskatoon here on the West Coast? Okay, so I guess I'm right. But these berries can be made into, well, you pick them off bushes, just to let you know, and you can eat them like blueberries, handfuls of them, after you get them off the bushes. They make really good cheesecake, and if you really want, you can make them into jam. And they're actually very good jam, especially with a lot of sugar in them. They're very good. So that all is to say that Psalm 139 talks about us being woven. See, that's why I brought it. Us being woven, like the womb, in the womb. Us being woven in the womb. And so as we continue on reading what Ian read, we'll look at some verses. We'll look at the first verse, which says, "You form me in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Obviously, I'm talking about the Creator knitting us together in that womb that we all came from. And anyone here is a knitter? This is an interactive sermon. Okay, I got you to put your hands up at least 5 times now. So we have some knitters here. And I know if there's some South Arm people here as well. And anyone do the prayer shawls at South Arm? Okay, I've got an audience that knows me, right. All right, so we understand that prayer shawls are an art form. They really are. Because in order to do, you know, knitting, which is complex for me anyways, I do some, this knit me in my mother's womb. And, okay, I do some cross stitch. I did it until my eyes went. But I used to do cross stitch. And I know that in knitting, you have to keep your count, right? You have to keep that count as you knit along. And so it's a fabulous thing to do. It. My mother does it all the time. Because you can make beautiful things like this. You can make, you know, for the little babies we had at the front here, you can make beautiful little sweaters like my daughter often got. And they're such things of beauty and intricate. Or if you really want, and I forgot to wear my colored socks today, but you can wear beautiful socks that are knit. I have a colleague that wears these wonderful socks that are beautifully knit in all kinds of fabulous bright colors. So you can do that, and you are created in the image of God. You are knit in the image of God, just like that woman's hair is knit together so beautifully to make a beautiful figure for God. God does that to us. And the psalmist says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made," just like little Addie came forward here and is fearfully and wonderfully made. And isn't that true of life? Because I like this one. Because God makes us so beautifully. It says, "I know I'm someone because God don't make no junk." And I was a school social worker in my first career. And children often used to get sent to the principal's office. And this little poster was in the principal's office. I really liked that principal because he had the essence of the child's being in mind when he said, "You know, no matter what your behavior is going to be, you know, as you sit in this office with me, the reality is God made you a special, beautiful person. We were wonderfully and fearfully made. Indeed, we are." And because we're so wonderfully and beautifully made, we have the opportunity to love ourselves, right? We're supposed to love ourselves. And so one nice thing about this screen is I don't think I'm even in front of it, am I? Yeah. So we can love ourselves. That's the first thing. This summer, I spent a lot of time on the Oregon coast, just came back, and I thought it was a gift to myself and Sharon, and indeed it is, a summer of love. I don't know what you like to do. Maybe you like to travel, or maybe you like to fly kites, or maybe you like to knit as a way of finding that center in yourself. And as we do, we're giving ourselves a gift of self-love. And I challenge you this summer to find something that you like to do for the summer, and do that because you love yourself, because you are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. So the psalmist goes on to say, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. So I've talked about knitting, I'm going to talk about weaving now. Weaving. Let's move along and see. You know, it's been part of cultures all through, many different cultures. We know the Aboriginal First Nations culture weaves baskets, don't we? We know that many cultures weave. All kinds of cultures weave. And as I said, this was woven on a floor loom, a small floor loom. I don't know much about weaving, but I know that some of the threads go vertical, horizontal, or whatever it is, and some of them go vertical, right? The smaller ones go up, and the longer ones go up, and the smaller ones go across, yeah. And so the weaver, if they have a threadle, it's like those old sewing machines that we had, I can remember them, and you push down the pedal, and it splits the thread, and then a shuttle goes down the middle with some thread. And the artist, weaver, has what's called a beater, and they can pull it down hard if they want a tight weave, and less hard if they want a not so tight weave. So they have that. And in the very intricate spots of, like, for example, this stole, where these intricate Saskatoons are, we have the various colors of leaves all against the backdrop of the cross. But here, in this spot here with the silk threads, she may have done that by hand. She may have had to spread the thread or the wool and then use what amounts to a needle or a shuttle and do it by hand like she's doing here and here. And because it's an art form, the artists are people who have choices. And the good artists make the right choices. That's the only difference. So in a small job like this, a good artist can make choices around colors. And they, generally speaking, if it's a small project, may take the wool and actually dye it in a way that they want to create the exact color that they need. And that's as opposed to, say, this one, which is in Pendleton, Oregon, again. It's a huge way of dyeing wool. In this case, it was done very individual to make an individual project. And as I mentioned, a good artist, if they have plan A and they're going along plan A, I don't know who does the prayer shawls here, but at some point, if you forget your count, you know, it's possible to do that. I don't know what you do, but I think you have a count. And then, if you don't succeed in doing plan A, there's always a plan B, right? That's what makes a good artist. There's always a plan B. And so if you want a tapestry, you want a nice tight tapestry, and you didn't pull the beater hard enough over a period of time, then you just want to maybe make that into, you know, a pillow. I don't know. You got options. You have options. See, that's the whole thing. And you're going in one direction in life, and Creator has, you know, is you're going in that direction, and we have options. And we don't change our direction, we're likely to end up where we're going. I like this slide here. I don't think I want to go there. But you see, sometimes you have to adapt your direction, don't you? And that's what a good artist does. And there may, in fact, be evidence of that in this stole, though I never talked to the artist about it. As a rule, there usually is. The master weaver, for now, we saw only the tapestries tangled underneath. Now, I said I do cross-stitch, and sometimes my cross-stitch looks like that underneath. Now, that's actually very nicely. That's a very nice design there. There's not too many mistakes in that. But if you looked at mine, you'd probably see even more tangles underneath. And I dare say that underneath this material, though it doesn't look like it to me, it feels like it doesn't there too, but there may be some also tangles. Do you think so? Yeah, okay. Because we all have tangles in our lives. Yes, that's the front of us oftentimes. It's beautifully displayed. But underneath, we can see things in our tangled lives that indicate that we're human beings. Because God can weave painful experiences into the fabric of your life and create something beautiful. Do you believe that? Okay, there's a few people believe that. It's a tough sell. But God can make those painful experiences into something beautiful. God is a wonderful God, and God created us in a way that was wonderfully and prayerfully made. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up, you are still with me. It's a proclamation statement. So I have a proposition for you. That God, our creator, is like a creator grandmother who knits those, and grandfathers, I suppose, as well, who knit those stoles or weave those stoles or knit those prayer shawls into something beautiful. God is like a great grandmother who holds us in the palm of our hands, like the children here, who knows we had such little feet at one time in our lives, you know, knows that about us. I have a guardian angel in heaven, and I call her Grandma. Grandma, the creator grandma. And so, getting back to the stole, you know, a stole, I believe, is a work of art. Partly because I acknowledge that a young woman with two children who is a single parent spent 3 years doing it with this and then one more in and around the other parts of her life and made something beautiful. A creation, an art form, an important part of my heritage, hopefully something that will stay in my family. Who knows? At least my generation, maybe, who knows? But it's an important thing to me. And when I wake up, you are still with me, it says in 139, verse 18. Because, you know, we have an awesome God. We have a God that is ageless. Ageless as a beautiful painting. Ageless as the Creator God that we know and love and loves us. The everlasting God. I think we say that oftentimes. The everlasting God. God, the master weaver. The master weaver. Like this master weaver in Pendleton, Oregon. History of 100 years of weaving. A master weaver. And these are just creations. Just illustrations of beautiful weaving. And I did ask Carrie a little bit about your banners. I understand there's one woman, many women who do them, but one has done a lot of them. And aren't they gorgeous? And they keep changing. Sanctuaries are art forms. You're going to get me on that picture, that beautiful stained glass window at the back. But they're art forms. And this art form is part of the art form I'm raising up today. And so I'm just giving you some illustrations of that here. I like color. I like that one. Now, I presently go to the United Churches of Langley. That's our logo. And that shows how a church can weave together into something beautiful. that church actually has four congregations woven together into something beautiful as possible. And here at Gilmore Park, I also looked on your site and realized there's many things being woven here, very beautifully done, like the mindfulness retreat that's coming up for children, like your picnics that I understand is coming up, and like your coffee time, I believe, is starting on Wednesdays again in August. You see, you have many things being woven here. The ministry continues and weaves together, like the two congregations that are meeting here today, the South Armand and the Gilmore Park for summer service, one summer service, woven together into something beautiful. For God is with us. We are never alone. Thanks be to God. And as a way of talking more about this weaving and our names being woven as well, I've called you by your name.